I'm just gonna share. A few things that I hope would help most of us come into what the Lord has for us. If I can touch on a little, those of you who are not here on Friday, you missed incredible keys to maintain the healing, the deliverance, and the blessings that God is giving to you. Like I've said previously, when I've been away, God does and shows me things. So the times that I come back, it is in your interest to be here. Because some of the things that I share very personally and closely to the heart. Like I did some, like on last Friday, that I will not allow that to be put on podcast. That makes sense to anybody. So not everybody, everything I share or I minister, you could say, I'll download the podcast, because that's not always going to happen. Last Friday was one of those moments where what was taught and preached is not going to be on the podcast. So I'm somebody who was there to show you. Fair enough?
Amen.
Yeah. So, for some reason, we've been in and out a lot most of this year, so when we are home, don't be one of those silly ones that does their own thing. Come and receive. Because I like to believe I bring something back each time.
Amen.
That makes sense to anybody? So, John chapter 5. Are we here, John chapter 5? I know we've read these passages before, and we've heard a lot of preaching and teaching from these passages. But there may be something a little bit new and fresh the Lord wants to show you.
Always.
Amen. And as I read, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me on this passage, I just increasingly become amazed at how much multi-layered the Word of God is. It comes layer upon layer, and it is picture upon picture, or backdrop against backdrop. And it brings cleansing, it brings freedom, it also brings healing and wholeness.
Amen.
But more so, strikes a hope within us which enables us to connect with the heart of God and receive what He has for us. So I'll start reading from verse 1. Verse 1 says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews. Yeah, after means what? There's many things before that. So after all those many things before that, there was a feast. The Bible does not tell us which particular feast this is, but some feel to believe that it was probably the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's the feast where they lived in booths or tents for 7 days to remember that when God brought them out of Egypt, they stayed in tents. But it is also a feast to celebrate the harvest. To celebrate all the goodness that God is doing. Hi, church. To celebrate all the things that God is doing in you and through you. And this is also the key to maintaining what God has given us, is gratitude. Learning to be thankful. So, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And we find those little kids there, if they are ours, we sit with them. So, at the back there. Let's claim the kids. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then thirst, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever. Yeah, which disease? Yes. Whatever. Yes. Was made whole from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And we start from the beginning. Now there in Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? A city of peace. Yeah? So after these things, the Feast of the Tabernacle, or the Feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. What is the title of Jesus in the Bible? The Prince of Peace. So after these things, there was the Feast of the Jews, and the Prince of Peace went to the City of Peace. Hey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now in the City of Peace, by the ship gate, there was a pool which was called Bethesda. Now, for those of us that don't know, is Jerusalem had 12 gates, and every gate had a name, a purpose, and its symbolism. Now the Prince of Peace is coming to a tabernacle, to a feast in Jerusalem, and he particularly at this feast chose to come in through the ship gate. Of all the other gates he could have used, he chose this particular gate. Because in reality, this was a gate that they used to bring in sheep to be prepared for the sacrifice. So not only does he come as the Prince of Peace, he comes as a lamb that walks through the sheep, the gate that all the lambs which are to be sacrificed have to come by. Are you understanding? So as the Prince of Peace comes, he does not come as a Prince of Peace. He comes in as a sacrificial lamb. And as a sacrificial lamb, he has to go through the sheep gate. Because that's where all the other sheep come through. Are you following?
Yes.
Why is he coming through the sheep gate? Because that's where all the other sheep are coming through. That's where all the lambs are coming through. Even as John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes off the sins of men." This is the Lamb that is coming through the gate where lambs are brought through. What does this John say? This Lamb takes away what?
The sins.
The infirmities. The iniquities. The diseases of man.
Amen.
So it was fitting that he came through that gate. But now when he came through by that gate, he found a pool. He is the living waters that runs into another pool of living water. And this pool was called Bethsaida, which means a house of loving kindness. Which is called a house of what?
Loving kindness.
Comes through this pool called a house of loving kindness. Because his name is love. And perhaps that pool being in the house of loving kindness demonstrated the affection, the mercy, the compassion, and the love of God for his people. Let me find somebody who's listening and talk to me. Are you listening here? Alright, I'll talk to you. I'll forget the rest of it. He came to a place of God, loving kindness. Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new. When? Every morning. That means every and each day, every new day in your life is meant to be an exhibition of his loving kindness to you. Each day is meant to be an exhibition of his loving kindness.
Yes.
Whatever challenge come along your way, there is loving kindness for your day.
Yeah.
Whatever situation you find yourself through, there is loving kindness to counter.
Yes. Amen.
Now, they say in this pool, there was something that would happen seasonally, every season, each time of the season, something would happen. Not always, not all the time, but every now and then, an angel of the Lord will come and stir up the water. And when the water was stirred up, whichever person jumped into the pool first got healed from whatever. It didn't matter what it was, you just get yourself in there. It didn't matter for how long you've had it for, you just have to get yourself in there. It doesn't matter what genetic fault you inherited, you just have to get yourself in there. And whatever it is from whoever you got it from was healed. There's no two ways about it. Are you following?
Yes.
The only problem is it only happened period. And when it says to declare the year of the Lord's favor, that is to make sure everybody gets to have an opportunity to get in.
Yeah.
Good. The healer.
Yes.
It gives everybody an opportunity to get in. Now, there was a pool, there was a living, there was water, that if you get in, you get healed. Now, here comes the Prince of Peace, who's the Lamb of God to be sacrificed, who is loving kindness at the pool of loving kindness, who is living water himself. Because he is living water himself, he's already stirred up. He does not need an angel, and he does not need a particular season. Because he's already stirred up. Hey, he's already stirred up. Why? He is the living water. Now, there's another thing you gotta understand. That not only was there a sheep kept there, not only there was there a pool there, there were also five poachers. How many of them?
Five.
And who was in these poachers?
The
paralyzed, the blind, the crippled, and the blind. Now, this is a beautiful image of God's faithfulness and kindness. The five poachers represents the law. The five books of the law.
Amen.
So, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the sick, sat under the covering of the law. So, under the law, are crippled, blind, lame. But in the midst of the crippledness and the blindness and the lame, that kept people there, life in the form of a new covenant walks in.
Hey!
Now here's something you gotta understand. For as long as they were sitting under the porch, under the covering of the law, they had to do something to receive the healing.
Yes.
Did you understand that?
Yes.
Under the law, you gotta do something. Under the law, you got to perform. And those that could not perform could not receive. Those that could not do could not take. Those that had nobody to help them do could not have. Because under that covering, it was expected. You gotta perform. You gotta do something. And this is also why, when we are in religious sect and form, we feel we gotta do something to end God's love. We feel we gotta do something to receive God's grace. We feel we gotta do something to be healed. It's an expectation. We feel we gotta be good enough. We gotta be holy enough. We gotta be perfect enough. We feel we're in favor with God when we've done much. And the man, and that was in there. So under the poachers, under the law, was the invalid, the sick, the blind, the crippled, all waiting for their turn. You see, Paul calls the law a yoke, a bondage. He calls the law a burden. So under the law, you are required to carry something. But this Lamb of God carries your burden.
Yeah.
This Lamb of God that comes through the sheep gate carries your yoke. This Lamb of God that comes through the sheep gate, he does it for you. So you don't have to do it yourself. Am I speaking to somebody?
Yes.
He carries the burden for you. And this is why he makes this invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who labor, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Because for as long as you are sitting under those five porches, there is no rest.
Yes. Yeah.
For as long as you are sitting under those porches, you can never do enough.
Yes.
For as long as you are sitting under those porches, what you do will always require you to do more.
Yes.
Every sheep you come and sacrifice, you need another one next year, and another, and another. But he is the sheep, the Lamb of God, that takes away your iniquities. The Lamb of God that took upon himself your transgressions.
Yeah.
Who was whipped for your infirmities. He takes it all upon himself so that you might be free to receive without ever lifting a finger.
Amen.
Hey? Verse 5 says, now there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years, lying among the multitude of the sick.
Wow.
How long?
38 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. He was lying over there nearly as long as Egypt, Israel was in the wilderness. That was a very, very long time. And every time the angel came and stirred up the water, somebody who was less crippled than him got in there. And he feels what we all feel. Why is it that everybody else always seems to have a breakthrough but not me? I'm reading that one straight from somebody's heart. How come everybody, they just come and blah, 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 and God touches them, and then they just come and God blesses them, and I've been crying out for many years. Oh, maybe you are sitting in the porches and not out in the grass. Maybe you have been doing too much on your own and not giving sufficient opportunity to do something for you. So this man, for 48 years, for 38 years he's been disabled, lying among the multitude of the sick. Now, when Jesus, salvation, Savior, Prince of Peace, Lamb of God, living waters, loving kindness, saw him lying there.
Yes. Say to your neighbor, mercy has spotted me.
Doesn't sound like you really mean it.
Mercy has spotted me.
Say to your neighbor, grace has spotted me. Say to your neighbor, the living water has spotted me. Yeah, because when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. When mercy looked at him, when grace looked at him, when favor looked at him, when loving kindness looked at him, knew. When he looks at you, he knows. When he looks at you, he knows. Probably, if I was preaching to one of those black churches in America, the women would get up and start dancing. He looked at me. He looked at me. He looked at me. Hey, he looked at me. He looked at me. Maybe I should try my luck with him. Mercy looked at him. And Mercy knew. I guess what I'm trying to say about that little point is, he knows your situation. He knows what you feel. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows what you are going through. The good news is, not only does he know, he's walking your way to do something about it. Hey, why is he dying? So Jesus said to him, so the fountain said to him, the lamb that is to be prepared and sacrificed for his condition, it knows. I am the full payment. I am the full payment for your issue. What do you want? Did somebody get that? I am the full payment. What do you want? Which means whatever you want, whatever you desire, whatever you have is fully paid for.
Yes.
Hey! This Jesus. What do you want? Again, this is the statement. When he says, what do you want? Do you want to be healed? Which means there is no answer. You're going to give him. He's going to make an excuse. No, sorry, come on Monday for that one. Now we're only doing this one. Uh-uh. Did somebody get that? So whatever comes out of the mouth of this guy is paid for. By the lamb itself, at the sheep gate, by the loving kindness of God, the fountain, the living water. And the question was, do you truly long to be healed? Which means there is a possibility, maybe he doesn't. I testimony from Toronto years ago. Well, a man was severely crippled and he was healed totally, completely, and it was on the news that he was completely healed. And the TV crew were very excited, went to interview him, and he said, "No, I'm not healed." And then the pastor rings him, "What is going on?" He says, "If I said I was healed, I was going to lose my pension." I've come across countless people during deliverance who said, "But I don't want my demons to go because they comfort me. They make me feel safe." In Africa, there was a girl, if it is exam time, the night before the exam, the demons would give her a dream of all the answers in the exam. And she came to church on Sunday. And the man was examined. And we cast the demons out. And she was begging them, "Can I have them? Then you can cast them on Tuesday after the exam." You're looking at me blunt and funny. "Can I keep them? You can get the rid of them on Tuesday." "They are not your pets. They're here to kill you. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Whatever manifestation they come within your life, the bottom line is kill, steal, destroy. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
So Jesus says, "Do you truly long to be healed?" Do you truly long to be healed? Do you truly long to be set free? Do you truly long to be delivered? Do you truly long to have a breakthrough? Do you truly long to have your story change? Do you truly long to have God touch you? Because who knows? The crippled man at the other gate. What was that other gate called? Beautiful. Isn't God funny? Sometimes most of us sit at the gate called beautiful in the ugly situations of our lives. Where we are sitting at the gate called beautiful, but there is nothing beautiful about us in what we're going through. And that man had to get called beautiful. He wasn't looking to be healed. He was just looking for some money. Anybody get me? He was not looking for deliverance. He was just looking for some money. He was not looking for healing. He was just looking for some money. And the only reason Peter and John, is that Peter and John, healed him, is because they didn't have money. If they would have money, they'd have given some money and walked on. So the guy says, "I really feel for you. I know you really need the money. I would like to give you some, but I don't have any. So I can give you something else instead." Remember me telling you a story about preaching at in Africa at a school where they teach blind people to read Braille. So we go to preach. So that means when we go to a church, it's like the school where they teach blind people to read Braille. So that means 80% of the congregation is blind. And I'm really pumped. We're going to see some blind dog eyes open today. I preached an incredible sermon about Bartimaeus receiving his his sight, how he got his sight, and how they can get their sight too. And I made this altar call, and all the blind people came to the front. And my compassion for the blind people swelled up after witnessing a football match between blind people. Has anybody ever seen it? Okay, what they do, they get a soccer ball. And the soccer ball has got a bell, a ringer inside. So when you kick it, it goes. So they all listen from where the sound is going. And the whole heap of them, they go to the thing and they all go smash each other. Boom! And they all fall. And then somebody kicks and it rings and they go for the sound. You're like, come on, who thought about such stupid things? Oh. Oh, it's torturous! How can you endure 90 minutes watching all that? So my compassion was well over here. I gotta see these people see so they can kick the ball like everybody else. So I make this altar call, they all come to the front. And then I'm ready to start commanding the blind eyes to open. And as I begin to start just to get into it, the Holy Spirit is more like tugging you. Hey, wait up there. We're trying to open some blind eyes. I have some action here. This is where you ask them what they want. Because you're just presuming they want to see. All right. Really? They are blind, it's obvious. And then it reminds me about the sermon I just finished preaching, Jesus asking blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? What a damn question, can't you see he's blind? See, the question is not what he can do. The question is what you believe him to do. What he can do is beyond questioning, is incontestable. What he can do is incontestable. So the question is, what do you believe he can do for you?
Amen.
So this is why he's asking blind Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? What do you want? Meaning, I can do whatever. So if Bartimaeus way back 2,000 years ago, he said, I want a Lamborghini. Jesus would have given him one. You didn't hear me. The question was, what do you want? So it was totally up to this dude to hell out whatever he wanted, and Jesus was going to just boom, here. Otherwise, what's the point of asking people what they want if you can't deliver? So, he reminds me of this story, so I reluctantly went to ask the first man, what do you want? What can I pray for you? And the first man says, I have a headache. Can you pray for my headache? So I prayed for his dead head and he was healed. Hey, praise the Lord, he's healed.
Yeah.
We get to the next one. What do you want? My tummy is sore. Can you pray for my tummy? Pray for his tummy. He was healed. Yay! The tummy's healed. It's better. Go to the other one. My finger, my thumb, my tummy, my head, my shoulder, my this, my back, my this, my malaria. There would have been at least maybe, I don't know, 40 people at the front. None of them asked that they wanted to see. They believed God to take away their headache, to take away their sore tummy, to take away their malaria. So by the time I get to the end, where somebody says, I want to see, my faith was deflated. I didn't even feel like praying for the healing of the eyes. So I prayed, and he says, I can see light! Good enough, go see light. Everybody. Well, it was half a miracle. He's blind, they can see nothing, but now they can see light, so at least they'll be scoring at the soccer match. They'll be seeing shadows. Do you truly long to be healed? What Jesus was meaning is, are you convinced that you are ready to be made whole? Are you convinced that you are ready to be made whole? And the man said, sir, there is no way I can get healed. Okay? That's why he's asking him, are you convinced you're ready to get healed? Because in his heart, he's convinced there is no way he can get healed. Are you now following the language?
Yes.
So that means if there has to be any healing take place, he's got to shift his own attitude. He's got to shift the way he's thinking. He's got to shift the way he's thinking. His mental processing has to change. Because in his heart, he's totally convinced that there is no way I can get healed. How many ways is there he can get healed? None. Zero. No way. And he's got a very good explanation for it. Just like most of us. For I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes.
Wow.
Ah, this is the angel of the Lord who does not come to the water because his water itself comes to him.
Wow.
He could not get to the pool, so the pool gets to him. Hey! The pool walks up to him. Do you want to jump in? Well, you can't jump, you just want to slather in, like roaring, like just come like him. So all he's got to do is just roar. Right in there. Hey. Don't worry, if you can't get there, he'll get to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you.
Good.
He will get to you. It's like the pool. He's face to face with the dude. I am all stirred up. I am all loving kindness and compassion.
Yes.
I am a lamb to be sacrificed for you.
Amen.
Now, change your attitude that nobody is here to help you because I'm here to carry your burden. Somebody get up.
Yes.
Change your attitude that there's no one to help you. There's nobody likes me. Nobody loves me.
Nobody knows the troubles I've been through.
I am here. Good.
Yes.
I am here.
Yes.
I'm still here.
Yes.
Rolling. Yes. Summer 15. Do whatever you can do. It's like as soon as I tried to crawl over the edge of the pool. Now, this is a dangerous pool.
Yeah.
Someone else jumps ahead of me. My angel saw the pool, saying, this guy can't just roll in. So Jesus, mercy, loving kindness, compassion, the Lamb, the Redeemer, the Healer, the Savior, the Deliverer,
yes,
says, stand up. Since you can't crawl, stand up. Because you can't crawl, stand up, pick your mat and walk. Why? It's a manifestation of the loving kindness of God. Why? It's foreshadowing a day when the Lamb of God will be slain for many, that they will all go healed.
Yes. Yes.
And for the first time, he walks in and demonstrates the outcome of the finished work of the cross.
Amen.
That when he comes, we'll stand up and walk. When he comes our way, we'll be delivered, we'll be set free, we'll be made whole. This is your Jesus, your Redeemer, your Messiah, your Savior. His name is Salvation. His name is Beautiful. He's the only man on earth who's confident to be called Beautiful. And heaven. Heaven is beautiful, okay? And his name is what is written on his thigh. Faithful. That means he's so committed to his faithfulness to you to the point that he tattooed it on his thigh. Did you know that? Read Revelation. It's written on his thigh. Faithful. That is just how committed he is to manifesting his goodness and faithfulness in your life. He isn't just a pool of loving kindness. He is loving kindness.
Yes.
Now here's a funny thing. He just doesn't come through the gate. The sheep gate. He is the gate.
Yes.
And it would be so funny that the Prince of Peace, who is the gate, will come walking through the gate to the seat of peace, and who is beautiful through the living waters, which he is.
Yes.
That as he makes one step, he is everything.
Yes.
That thing is. And he walks through that gate, which is himself, to fulfill the law represented by the five bulges and to do what the law could not do. The law could not get the invalid out. The law could not get the crippled out. The law could not get the sick out. He comes into the law and the sick pick up their mats and walk.
Yes.
praying for people and I do the things there. I'm not just being revved up and being Pentecostal or charismatic. I am declaring what I truly believe He wants to do in you and for you.
Yes.
He truly wants to do it in the lives of His people. Are we understanding?
Yes.
And the man, you see, you gotta understand. He'd been crippled for how long? Instantly did need a physiotherapist.
Come on.
Because he would have a dead muscle. He would have needed physio for years to rebuild and strengthen his muscles, but he gets up. Not only does he get up, he goes weightlifting immediately, picks up the mass. Immediately.
Good.
Are you following him?
Yes.
Well, the next part of it I preached on Friday. So, all of us here.
Amen.
Because the last part is. Well, he picked up his mat and walked, and some people were very mad with him.
How can you be picking up your mat on the Sabbath?
Isn't that funny? That the gate, walked through the gate, at the ship gate, and he's the lamb to the pool of Bethsaida, and he's the fountain of living water on the Sabbath, and he is the Sabbath. He's got you covered. Don't do that on the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath said again. Sabbath says you can.
Yes.
Why? Jesus obliterated the poaching that represents the law. He just did what it could not do.
Yes.
So if it could not do what it says you could not do, if he could do what it couldn't do, what right does it have to tell you what you can't do?
Yeah.
That makes sense to anybody? And in verse 14, Jesus finds the man in the temple. After the question, he didn't even know who he was. And he says, "See now, you are well. Go and see him no more." Okay? And probably we'll end with that. Is that being healed, it is a work of his grace. Being healed is a work of his loving kindness. Being healed is a work of his love.
Yes.
Keeping your healing is your responsibility. Because he told him, go sin no more, this something worse comes upon you.
Amen.
So just like he had to change his attitude so he can receive his healing, he's got to change his ways so he can keep his healing. Eh?
Yeah.
What was the attitude he needed to change so he could receive his healing? He believed that there is absolutely no way he can get healed. What's his excuse? There's nobody to help him.
Good.
So for many of us, it is our attitudes, our beliefs, our conviction that are not in line with the heart of God that prevent us from receiving our miracle. What prevents us from receiving our miracle? What we think of ourselves. What we feel about ourselves. So when we change what we think and feel about ourselves, we open ourselves up to a miracle. We open ourselves to a healing. We open ourselves to a breakthrough. Okay? If Jesus did the same thing, do you truly want to be healed? And we'll say, but the doctor said, this is impossible. Well, that's what he said. But do you truly want to be healed? The Bible says, whatever thing is impossible with man, with God all things are possible. That means there is no pit you can ever get yourself in, that the arm of the Lord is not long enough to retrieve you. Eh? There's no jam you can ever put yourself in, that the Lord, arm of the Lord is not gracious enough to get you out. I remember those stories from Friday. Yeah, so part of the reason why we don't put this thing, as we've been traveling all over where we've been going, people have been listening to our podcast. So okay, if everybody's listening, maybe we've got to be mindful of what we say, what we put on here. Yeah, so that's why some of the things will just be in-house on. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. I explain that reason now. Yes. So there's people God wants to crash into their situation, oh? But you gotta start agreeing with the Spirit of the Lord. What do you need to do? Agree with who? The Spirit of the Lord. Which says, with God all things are possible. And the last thing we're emphasizing is to go and do what? Okay, we say, what's the word for sinning? It's a hamad, which means to miss the mark. Okay, so the emphasis is not the punishment for missing the mark. It is to miss the mark as to miss out from receiving the reward. So what God is amplifying is not the punishment because you missed the mark. What God is amplifying is the sorrow that you missed the reward of hitting the mark. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Example he gave is, blessed are the pure in spirit. What is the mark? Purity in spirit. What's the reward? They shall see God. Are we getting that?
Yes.
So God is emphasizing on what? The reward. That if you're pure in spirit, you'll see Him. Who shall ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Clean hands and a pure heart. What's the mark? Clean hands. What's the mark? Pure heart. What's the reward? Ascending to the mountain of the Lord. Does that make sense? Because it is when we position ourselves in the reward of the Lord that we get connected to the blessing and the life flow from the Lord. So when we miss the mark, we disconnect ourselves from the blessing. We disconnect ourselves from life. We disconnect ourselves from wholeness. We disconnect ourselves from the benefits.
Yes.
The ones that David talked about. Right? And forget not his benefits. Because he's the one who does what? And we stop here now. I think it's too much. Yeah, let's stop here. So just pause a moment and think, what is it the Lord is speaking to you? What is it the Lord is saying to you? What is it that the Lord wants you to take away from this teaching? What is He speaking into your heart? Alright, shall we stand together and I'll just pray over you. You missed it. Most of the battles were won in the morning when I just prayed for you before. Your battles, your healing, your breakthrough was gotten then. And the last little while, I'm just giving you the basis and the foundation to believe and being not containing, but embracing what is already released into your bosoms. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your loving kindness, for your mercy. And even as you execute vengeance on the enemies of your people, the enemies of their destiny, the enemies of their fruitfulness, the enemies of their productivity, the enemies of their families, the enemies of their relationships, I ask that you seal your blessing upon each one of them. You seal that healing upon each one of them. I ask that you continue speaking into their hearts, speaking into their lives, speaking into their situations, speaking into their marriages, speaking into their businesses, speaking into their work.